listening? Sorry.
I got shook up here.
Well, praise the Lord. God is good. If you haven't made the meetings all through the week, rats, they've been good. It's been a real blessing. Even the morning meetings also are a real blessing. Hearing not only the missionaries, but also other people here in the church who have something to say. It's a real blessing hearing other people. Before I begin, I would like to just thank all of those who have been involved in feeding us. I had lost some weight when I was in Poland. I think I found it again, an extra. So thank you. I'm going to have to double my efforts when I get back to Poland. And I took a picture of myself and I sent it to Magda. She goes, you have a bigger double chin. What happened? 10 days of San Antonio does it to you. I don't know. I praise the Lord for that. But praise the Lord for everything. Definitely, I can say I have not lacked anything. I have not lacked. Praise the Lord. God is really good. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time once again. I will be leaving Monday. This coming Monday, I'll be flying back home. My wife can't wait for me to get back home. I can't wait to get back to them and get back to work. And definitely, I have been revived.
Amen.
The Lord touched my heart about many things that I've been struggling with, things that I needed to deal with. And the Lord spoke to me. And if He spoke to me, I have a feeling He spoke to you too. He spoke and He said some things to me. And I'm going to hope that this is my last message that I'll be presenting for this conference. And I'm going to try to challenge you one more time. I'm going to try to just one more time put that out there. Maybe repeat ourselves again and say the same thing we've been saying. And maybe this is the first time you came and this would be the first time you hear this. So I'm going to just repeat it again and say it again. And, you know, repetition is actually safe, Paul said. It's a good idea to repeat things. So I'm going to be repeating some things, but from a different perspective. As you know, I had two messages, 2 Kings chapter 5 and 2 Kings chapter 6. Well, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. The first time I ever worked out this way for me. But I got a blessing reading these three chapters. And I got a real... I found some things that just popped. One thing after another as I was reading this. And if you just read 2 Kings, you just see... And most of the Old Testament, see how God deals with people. It's just like miracle after miracle after miracle. Just things just happen right and left, it seems like. And it's like, man. And people say, well, did God change? No. His miracles still happen the same. The miracles happen of somebody getting saved. It's a miracle. A miracle that somebody gets right with God after many years of running away from God. That's a miracle. The miracle that maybe you're in this building tonight may be for some of you a miracle. I know of a lot of people who said for many years, I will never set foot inside of a church building.
Amen.
And yet, it may be one of something you have said. There's a guy, I call him the Rock, because he's a hard rock. I'm trying to pound on him. He said, I will not ever come to your church. Ever. He said he needs jokes and different things, but I keep inviting him. I keep telling him. I've been there 4 or 5 years, and for the 4 or 5 years, I've been telling him, you ought to come to church. You're still alive. You still have hope. You ought to come to church. Oh, I know that one of these days is going to be a miracle. He's going to walk through those doors. I pray him for that. So maybe it's a miracle that you're here tonight, and I praise God that you are. You know, Saturday night,
amen.
There are a lot of things that probably you would like to be doing. You usually do on Saturday evenings. I don't know, go to watch a movie. I don't know, putt-putt. I don't care what you want to do. But there are a lot of other things you like to be doing, but you're here. I want to praise God for that. So 2 Kings chapter 7. Uh, Actually, before we get into our actual text in chapter 7, go back one chapter, chapter 6, verse 24, just to get a little bit more of a context what Elisha will be saying in chapter 7. What the situation is, we actually have from around chapter 6, about 18th verse or so on, we have a situation where the king Hadad, king of Syria, is attacking Israel. And we have a problem. It's kind of from Samaria, excuse me, attacking Samaria. And we have a problem here. We have in verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dung, of dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. There is a famine in Samaria. There is a problem. They have been besieged all around. They cannot go out. Nothing comes in. To the point where they eat a donkey's head. There's not much meat on a donkey's head. There's not much, and I don't know of what this dove's dung actually is, if it's actually that, or that's what they called it, some other kind of food, but doesn't sound very appetizing for me. I mean, I think even John would say no thank you. I would say no thank you. Oh, he'll get over it. But we have here a huge problem. There is a famine. Now, let's go on to chapter 7. Let's look at what Elisha prophesies. It says, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. So he's saying, listen, God gave me this message. Listen carefully. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Wow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow there is going to be a change. Something's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what. We don't know how. But it's going to happen tomorrow. And you can imagine, and even we have in verse 2, a situation where then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Skeptic. Yeah, right. That ain't going to happen. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. So now we got a man, a Lord that the king depended on, and he's a skeptic. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. There are a lot of skeptics in the world today, aren't there? About the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says something. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Hell, there is no such thing. Yeah, right. I'm a sinner. I'm a good person. I never hurt anybody. I've never done any wrong to any person. I don't know if they say it in that way, but in Poland they say it like that. I have not done any wrong to any person. My question is, do you have a wife? Or do you have a mother? Probably sometime in your life you did something wrong to your wife or to your mother. Logically speaking, it's just impossible. Because we are sinful men. That's not exactly my complete text. But you see already the situation is leading up to a climax, an incredible situation that completely bewilders all of Samaria. Something magnificent will happen. Let's go on. Let's read verse 3. And there were 4 lepers. Men at the entering of the gate. 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. Logical. We die here, we die here. We go into the city, this happened there, we die there. All right? And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. Makes sense. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Now we're already going to die. It's already inevitable. Maybe we'll just speed up the process and save us the hassle of actually dying of famine. Makes sense to me. Man, I don't know. These men, four leprous men. Notice, we had Naaman in chapter 5. Now we got, in chapter 7, we got again leprosy. Leprosy seems to pop up a lot, doesn't it? You know why? Because it's everywhere. It's sin. This just covers everybody. And just, you cannot get away from it. Now, these four men, God used to break the famine that was in Samaria. I'm going to spoil a spoiler alert. I'm going to spoil a little bit. I hope maybe you've already read it. It's an incredible passage. But this famine was broken by the message of hope and joy. But you know what? This message was almost not told. Almost not told. It was a close call. I'm going to show you what exactly happened with these four men. I want to use these men as an example of us. And I want to challenge you to be like them. Now they decide that they better do something because they're going to die one way or another. So they decide, let's go to the Syrians. Let's go plead for our lives at the hands of the Syrians. Can't go home. No food there. So up to this point, these four men, there's three things that is happening to them. They're starving. Like the whole city of Samaria, starving. Nothing to eat. They usually ate what people threw away, right? They can't touch anybody, go near anybody, so probably they were out, you know, rummaging around the garbage cans, trying to find some food somebody left over. But there's no food coming out of Samaria. They're eating everything that they can. They were even eating things that we can't even imagine was possible. And I'm not talking about the donkey's head or the dove's dung. Look at chapter 6. Look at... Where is that? Verse 28. Now there's a woman comes out to her, to the king, and says, "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." That's desperate. That's desperate. That's low. That's gotta be, I don't know, you can get much lower than that. Where you now are at a point, you're capable of eating your own children. But that's what happens when there is no hope. That's what happens when the world is full of desperate people and they don't know where to go and they try everything. That's why we need the gospel of hope and joy. This world is full of people who are doing the worst kind of things that you could possibly be doing. And we wonder, how and is it possible? They have no hope. They don't know where to turn. That's this world today. Now, it goes without saying that they were poor, but they had nothing, literally. Not a single valuable thing to their name. I say this because it's important in what's going to happen in the later verses. Beyond that, they're also dressed in nothing but filthy rags. Stench and nothing but broken down, fallen to pieces, filthy rags. The Bible says something about all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Interesting. See, in verses 3 and 4, looks pretty miserable, doesn't it? Looks pretty bad place that these guys are in. Now let's go in verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now you can imagine these men deciding, kind of working themselves up to go. All right, who's going to get up first? Yeah, come on, we can do it. All right, we got to go. Finally, they get the courage to go, and they're ready to be destroyed at a moment's notice. Somebody's going to throw a spear, cut us down, chop us down at a moment's notice. They walk into the camp, and it's empty. There's nobody there. What happened? God happened. Oh, God happened. And they don't understand what's going on. They can't see it. But yet, let's go on. It says, verse 6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Man, God can do incredible things, can't he? He can make enemies hear things that don't even exist. Aren't even there. And these men are, these Syrians are like, man, we hear horses. We hear chariots. Probably they even thought they heard the language I was speaking. They said, you know, they imagined it was the Hittites and the Egyptians. Maybe they heard the language. Oh, God can do it. He can make them hear things. So now they come into this empty camp. And what do they do? Come into an empty camp. Let's come to continue verse 7 into the story. Wherefore they arose, these Syrians, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent. And carried thence also, and went and hid it. You and I probably would have done the same exact thing. Man! Notice the first thing they did. These men are starving. They ate, and they drank. They need energy, right? So they ate and drank. And they see all the gold, all the silver, all the clothes. Man! These men, the night before, they went to bed dressed in filthy rags, starving and having not a nickel to their names, woke up the next morning, went into the camp of the Syrians, and found themselves richer than any of the kings probably all around them. I'm going to tell you who these people are, exactly these lepers. These lepers, they're a picture of the redeemed Christian. I believe this is a picture of a redeemed Christian. Yeah, you woke up one day, the night before, you went to bed and you were sinful. You were dressed in nothing but filthy rags, thinking it's all to your merit. And somebody gave you the gospel and said, Jesus Christ is the only way, and only way, truth, and the life. And what happened? You believed. Amen. And now, you are rich, the son of a king. Amen. And now you're dressed in white robes, redeemed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, transformed, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Let's look at that. I want to remind us of this beautiful picture that we have here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's the key to this whole thing. In Christ. Not in your own righteousness. Not in religion. Not in your own theories. In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All things are passed away. Thank you now that I no longer have to look at myself in the mirror and think of myself as somebody disgusting and horrible. All things are passed away. What does it say? Behold, all things are become new. These men woke up and they went into the camp and they were new men. Oh, they're still lepers. But now it's going to be a lot easier to live as a leper, isn't it? Now it's a little bit easier. We got food. We got money. We got clothes. Maybe a little bit of respect. But doesn't end there, does it? Let's go back. It doesn't end there like that. For a lot of Christians, that would be period, end of the chapter. Let's go on to the next story. We got our money. We got our clothes. We got the food. We got everything we want. Thank you, Lord. Right? Normally, and that's how we are. We go to Walmart, we go and buy, we bring it home. We hide it in the cupboards. We go to HEB, we buy what you want, we bring it home. Put that away. We go to Sam's and we roll it up, you know, roll all the, you know, the, what do you call it, the flossing, you know, you just roll it up. I don't know what you buy in Sam's. Everything's a huge packages. That's how we are. Material. Give me, give me, give me. Let's hide it. Let's dig a hole. Let's put it in the bank. Let's keep it safe. That's what they did. Let's go on. Verse 9. Now they only, excuse me, before we go on to verse 9, they only went into 2 tents. And they're already filled beyond measure. There's a whole camp. There's a humongous camp. Probably it would take them a couple years to get to every single one of them. What do they say? Then they said one to another, we do not well. The Lord started pricking their hearts. He started saying, what are you doing? They started realizing, we do not well. Why? What was so wrong with what they were doing? The world will say they did great. If the people in the city didn't want to come out, that's their problem. They braved the Syrians. Samaria's still in there. The people are thinking everything's the same way as it always has been. That's the way it is. That's life. Not my problem. That's how many people think. It's not my problem. Let somebody else take care of them. Not my issue. Especially these men. Who have been outcasts. Especially these men. Yet these men already are realizing we do not well. Wow. They are really concerned about others other than themselves. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. There it is. They knew exactly what was going on. Man, we got everything possible right here. And yet we're holding it for ourselves. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's right. This is a day of good tidings. We need to tell the world that there's something here. Amen. They need to know we got something here for them. The city is starving. The world is starving. They need food. And we have the food that they need. We have it right here. So fuller than any person could ever get full with any physical food. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Living water. The bread of life. That's the food that they need. We do not well. For this day is the day of good tidings. What did they say next? And we hold our peace. Three things right there. Realization of their sin, of what they're doing. We do not well. Acknowledgement. They listened and heard God speaking and they reacted. They didn't just hide that conscious of speaking and saying, you know what, you're doing not well. They say, yeah, right. Nah, who cares? Man, we got food. We got money. Nobody else knows. Who would know? Who would know? Probably if they did not say a word, Samaria would have fallen. Samaria would have gone into history. Nobody would have known. But they would have known. And that was what bugged them. It was their responsibility to tell the news of good tidings. Their responsibility. They said, we do not well. Today is the day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. Now I want to explain to you what it means to hold your peace. Hold your peace means to hold your tongue. To not say what we're supposed to say. Holding our peace means to say things in situations that you ought to. And holding on things you're... other way around. But the idea is that you're not saying what you're supposed to be saying on the things that are important. Holding their peace. They realize that. So this is what these four men came to a realization. We ought to be saying something, but we aren't. So I got three questions. Are you doing well? Examine yourself. Let's examine ourselves. Are we doing well? According to what these men are talking about. Do you have the good tidings? Do you have the good news? Are you a born again believer? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Amen. You ought to be saying something. Amen. You ought to be telling people what Lord Jesus has done for you. Amen. Today is the day of good tidings. Today. Amen. He didn't say, let's do it next week. They didn't say, let's figure out a different time. Let's synchronize our watches and figure out what's the best time to do it. Today is a day of good tidings. Amen. People are dying in that city. Worse, children are being eaten in that city. Think about that. Oh, I know that's not exactly what's happening today. But people do the most horrific things, even today. Unimaginable things. And what do? We hold our peace. We don't say what we're supposed to be saying. We pass by people. We pass them by. And we let them pass by. The Lord is saying, you ought to be telling that person something. And we say, Lord, that person stinks. Come on, can you give me somebody who at least smells a little better? But those people are dying. The whole city is dying. The stench is in there. So what do? They talk to themselves, we do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. That gets me thinking. I don't know about you. They're lepers. What other mischief can fall upon them? They're already dying. What other thing could be possibly worse? Their conscience. they could not live with themselves. They could not bear the thought that they had something and they did nothing. These are four lepers. These are not theologians. These are not highly educated. Maybe they were, I don't know, but these men are simple people. They came to a conclusion. We do not well. If we don't tell them, some mischief will happen. Something bad. Because we need to tell somebody about this. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now therefore come, that we may go. Interesting. These four men came to a conclusion in unison. They made a decision unanimously. It wasn't like, all right, we'll choose one of us to go. The other three will stay here. We only need one. I mean, how many of us do we need to tell this story? I mean, really, you just need one voice. But yet they decided, let's all go. Nobody stood there and kept eating while the other three are, the other one is gone. Like, man, this is good food. Too bad you're not here. No, what did they do? All four of them went. Therefore, let us go and tell. Simple. Simple. But how many Christians, it's oh so difficult to come to this conclusion. It's my responsibility to tell.
Amen.
Yet I let somebody else go.
Amen.
In my place. No. It was their responsibility. They came to a conclusion unanimously. In verse 10, so they came and called unto the porter of the city. So now we have their decision. And you know what? This decision took courage. I want you to think about this for a moment. It took enormous courage for these men to decide to go to Samaria and tell the king's house. The king's house. These are lepers. They don't deserve. They don't belong in the city. But when you're dying and you hear good news, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, really, how many times somebody has been at the bottom of the barrel and just can't go any deeper. And he tells the good news. He said, oh, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are, who you were, what you had. It doesn't matter how you smelled. It doesn't matter. It matters you had good news to tell them. And they listened. It took courage to go to the city with good news. Courage, why? Because, as I mentioned, they were outcast from the city. Yet they risked not being believed. They risked not being believed. Think about that. They risked not being believed. It's a risk. You go into a city as a leper and you say, hey, we found something out there. They, yeah, right. We're not going to believe you. You're lepers. What do you know? You got nothing. They took that risk. They risked being rejected for who they were. Sinners with good news. It takes courage. It takes courage to go and tell. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's a piece of cake. I'm not saying that you should just jump up and just throw everything to the wind and just think nothing about it. It takes courage. It really does. But they had it to do. They couldn't get around it. They couldn't get past this feeling. We have it to do. It takes courage for you and me to share the good news. People may not believe you or me. They may not believe us. They might even reject us. And probably they have, haven't they? Get out of here, you Jehovah's Witness. Get out of here, you fanatic. We don't want to listen to your good news. Yet in their homes, there are children, not physically, but being eaten. It's that desperate in that house.
The homes are in desperate need of the good news. And yet, they reject it. But didn't stop these four men of going and still telling the good news. You know, it takes real men to actually make a decision like this. It takes a real man. And I've noticed more and more real men are lacking. Real men are lacking. It's just, it's a major problem in our, in Poland. It's very difficult. That's one of the prayers I ask every single time. Pray for men. I hear in Mexico is something similar. What's going on? Where are the real men? Quit ye like men. These men were real men. They took courage. Despite rejection, despite not being believed, despite maybe getting their feelings hurt a little bit, they still got up and they went and they told. They didn't care what they thought, what people thought of them. They didn't care what people saw, they saw them. They said, anyways, we have good tidings. Listen to us. Yet we hold our peace. You know, Romans 10:13-15 talks about that. Talks about how can they know? How can people know if they're not, if they don't know who to believe on? How can they know? It's up to us to tell them. They don't know that in the where the Syrians are is an empty camp. They don't know. It's open. Open your doors. Go out. See what there. There's food for the taking. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord Jesus did everything possible. The camp is open for everyone. Just open the doors and walk out. And just feast on what Jesus has done already. But how do they know the camp is open if we don't go tell them that it's opened? How do they know? They're still in there fearing and they're terrified, eating the most horrific things possible. And yet we hold our peace. You know, it took compassion for these men to do it. It took compassion to those people who probably did them bad. Who probably kicked them out, probably threw a rock or two or three. Who probably said, get out of here, you filthy animal. We don't want you around. It took great compassion. I don't know if I could be able to do that. They did not say, you know what, let them die. Whatever they have. Let them die. What have they ever done for us, actually? Right? That's what this world would think. What have you done for me anyways? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Actually, they get nothing out of this. They got nothing out of telling what happened. Actually, they lost a whole lot. They lost the camp. But yet they told. But yet they told. They didn't hold their peace. Now, how about us? Do we have compassion for those who don't have when we have what they need? Let me repeat that again. Do we have compassion for those who don't have when we have what they need? We have what they need. They need the Lord Jesus. Do you have enough compassion to share the Lord Jesus with somebody else? So that they have the same thing and they can be filled. Go on this earth, you may not get recognition. You may not get patted on the back for what you're doing. But Lord Jesus sees. He will reward you in heaven. You will be rewarded for eternity. If you only would go and tell and not hold your peace. You know, the last thing it took, conversion.
As these men feared, I want you to notice verse 12. The story goes on. They tell this. They tell it to the porter, to the house, to the king's household. The porter tells it to the king. In verse 11, he called the porters and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will not show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know what we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. As these men feared, they were not believed. It happens. It really does. That's life. Unfortunately, every single person you're going to tell the good news to is not going to believe you the first time, immediately. Sorry. If they do, probably somebody else has already been witnessing to this person. Has already sown the seed, and now you're just reaping. But that didn't stop them. It didn't stop them. That is something I had to learn about preaching the gospel. Is you do what you have to do. And if God blesses, praise the Lord. If this person walks away offended or whatever, you say, Lord, is in your hands now. I did not hold my peace. I told them this day is a day of good tidings. Now it's in their court. Their decision. But they do not know about this if we hold our peace. Are you holding your peace? Are you doing well?